Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And Sam, if last week was a punch in the face for Mikel Arteta, this one is going to feel like a double slap, isn't it? It's advantage City.
I don't think he's on fire anymore.
He's not on fire.
I think they've come with the extinguisher.
It was, not just a slap in the face. I tell you what, one of my favourite shots, and I know that it's gone a little bit semi-viral on Twitter since the end of the game. Did you see the camera angle of Haaland?
Absolutely.
At the end of the game, he just gives a little like, and for the podcasters, you won't be able to see this, but yeah, that's the perfect, he nailed it. It's like his little... look to the camera just down there. If you've not seen it, go and find it on Twitter. And he's sort of he's humming, or he's like starting to sing in the background, isn't he? Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling. And it's just like, oh no. I tell you what, in that moment, I was just like, they're winning this league. They just have got the momentum. It's just there for the minute. They're good today.
I think the reality of the situation is that for the last few weeks, it's felt very much like City were in the driver's seat, but quietly in the driver's seat, if you know what I mean. Just letting Arteta say ridiculous things and dig his own grave. And then they've gone out of the, one by one, the trophy competitions have just disappeared. And it's got to a point, and we always say this every season, City just know how to finish a season.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter really what goes on before. They know what to do. The muscle memory kicks in and they know how to finish a season properly. And Arsenal, for all
Well, they know
of
how
the,
to bottle it.
Well, yeah, for all of the good stuff that they've done during the rest of the season, when they get to the end of the campaigns, they know how to make it all go wrong. And today always felt like it was going to be really, really important. Didn't really matter which one won it. The one that won felt like the one that would then probably kick on from it. As it is, City have that muscle memory. City win. It's theirs to lose now.
It is. I think it absolutely is theirs
to
lose.
By Wednesday night, they'll have wiped away the goal difference and they'll be ahead on goal difference.
Well, there's only one goal in it. So assuming they win, then yes. I mean, they'll be level.
They could put 4 or 5 past Burnley.
Well, they probably will. I mean, the way that they're playing. I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? Because they've got that Burnley game. And then I think that, and Sky, they showed this on Sky, the way that the fixtures kind of fall from then on, Arsenal then play twice again at home before City then play again.
The Newcastle game. And
so
then
actually could be another 6-point gap between Manchester City and Arsenal by the time City play the game after Burnley, if that makes sense. So Arsenal could have another 6-point gap and then City have got to claw that back. There's still football to be played.
And a match still to be scheduled for Manchester City.
Still football to be played and stranger things have happened. But right now, the momentum looks absolute with City. We're going to discuss that. We're going to discuss all the other games. Big week in FPL, guys. Big week in FPL. Thanks for joining us. As you guys know, this is a kind of a weirdish kind of time to be doing a live stream because we're only halfway through, or let's say two-thirds of the way through, big double game week 33. We're obviously going to talk about our scores. We'll talk about how our teams are doing so far in FPL this week, but there's still 4 more games to go.
Yes.
Right, 4 more games to go. One on Wednesday, 2 Tuesday, and 1 Monday.
1 tomorrow, yeah.
Monday, 2 Tuesday, and then Wednesday.
No, Monday, Tuesday, 2 Wednesday.
2 Wednesday. Okay, so 4 games still to go. And those 4 games will have a big impact still on our FPL teams. You I bench boosted this week. we're going to find out whether that was a success or not. I don't know if it was. I mean, it wasn't a disaster, but it also wasn't amazing for me. We'll talk about that later on. There was a lot of people free hitting as well this week. So can we call the free hit a success based on what I saw as the kind of free hit template? I think you probably can. I think so. But, you know, listen, maybe we'll have that conversation later on. If you did free hit this week, let us know in the live chat or in the comment section if you're watching the replay. What's your scores? Are you considering your score on the free hit so far this week?
It's really hard to know, isn't it?
A success or not? I don't know. But listen, it's a big week in FPL because not only have we got those double game week games still to play on Monday through Wednesday, but then very quick turnaround for those of you that are playing the free hit in 34.
Yeah.
Which is going to be me and you. We're on the same strategy, right? Up until, so I've wildcarded and then was ready for this double. And now I'm free hitting in 34. We're both going to be doing that. So when we come to talk about our teams for game week 34, which we'll do towards the end of the show, they will be our free hit teams. Free hit kind of first drafts. some similarities, but some differences.
They're not as identical as I thought they would be. When we were discussing, obviously, the fact that I would have to make these new graphics from scratch. And obviously, I was moaning, I think, a couple of weeks ago when you wildcarded that it takes forever when you've got to make a new, because you basically have to just start all new player graphics again.
Mm.
So for these two free hits, I said to you, didn't I? Well, don't worry about it. It shouldn't be too bad because I'll just do one and then I should be able to tweak just a couple of players here and there. No, we're on entirely different formations. And actually, the players that we've chosen, there's some similarities in there, but there's also a lot of differences. Even within the clubs that we've chosen, we've picked different players from those clubs. So it took a lot longer than I thought. And I think now I feel a little bit happier about the free hit in 34. Because I thought, oh, well, free hit 34 is going to be quite boring. Because there's not that many teams playing. Everyone's going to have the same free hit team. But judging just by yours and mine, there's going to be enough differences that there could easily be green arrows that come from it.
Mm, I think there's going to be opportunity as well.
Yes,
I think there's going to be opportunity to go for some differentials.
Yeah, good word.
I don't think anyone were really thinking about Spurs up until this week. And all of a sudden, you get half decent performance and it's suddenly Wolves and maybe they're in our thinking again. But... you know, I've done a couple of slides later on, one that's got all the fixtures for game week 34 and things I'm considering, right? So I have a whole list of things I'm considering.
Slide. It looks rubbish.
It does look a bit rubbish. I'll tell you why that slide looks rubbish. It's because I did it and I've not got the legend of the graphics doing it in your good self.
I don't know why you didn't ask me to do it.
Well, I just did it, didn't I? I've done it. It's when we get to that slide, guys, you'll know. That's the slide leading because it looks crap. But the point is, it's got all the key kind of talking points and my thinking behind game week 34 free hit. Listen, we've still got a lot of football to play. As I say, there's still four games to go. So the free hit that we put in front of you guys later on comes with a whole bunch of caveats, right? But where you will find our game week 34 locked in free hit teams is on the Ohana podcast on Thursday. So get over to patreon.com/FPL family. Get yourself signed up for an account over there. Don't need to give us any money. There's no Ohana podcast behind a paywall. There is other stuff behind a paywall. If you want to take part in our competitions, if you want to get in the Slack, if you want to have Zoom calls with us, all that good stuff is great. You can come and support the channel. But if you just want access to the Ohana podcast on a Thursday for free, just get yourself a Patreon account and sign up for it at patreon.com/FPL family. All the links in the description below. That's where you'll find our locked in free hit teams for game week 34. But today, at the end of the show, we've got some ideas. I've got some crap slides. We've got some ideas. Right, Sam, let's say hello to...
You really sold that.
Yeah. People can't wait for the crap slide.
Everyone's waiting for it.
Let's say hello to a few people and then we'll get on with the games. And I suggest, given that I'm the king of waffle, as we found out a couple of weeks ago, I will do my best to keep it short on those games because we've got a lot of game week 34 to discuss. There's a lot to discuss going into next week. So we'll try and zip through the games as quickly as we can.
You won't be able to.
I won't. No, I won't. We've got top bins with twins. How are we doing, top bins?
Top 84. Bins with twins?
Yeah, Sam, get this. 84 on a bench boost with 13 left to play.
I mean, that's going well.
Wow. Good effort. That is a very, very nice.
That is going well.
Very nice score indeed. FPL Knapp is in. Triple captain now looking good for the Man City double. I have to say yes. I think we have to say yes, don't we? When is their double? 36?
Well, we think so. It hasn't been announced yet, but yes, we think so.
Pretty sure it's going to be 36. Yeah. We're pretty sure it's going to be against Palace, don't we?
Well, we know it's going to be against Palace, but we just don't know where it's going to go.
Yeah. So, yes, FPL Knapp, I would suggest the triple cap is looking pretty locked for game week 36. Nick F7 is here. Nice to see you. John Robert Knight is in. Who else we got? We've got Brian's 1966. He says, yeah, they bring on the crap slide, Brian. Yeah, you ain't seen it yet, mate. It looks really rubbish. But you'll know it. As soon as you see it, you'll be like, that's the one Lee did. It's crap. We've got Babani is in. We've got James Musau is here. That's a new name. Hey, James, welcome along. Welcome in. 64 points after playing bench boost. Not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad at all, that James. Not bad at all. George is in. Nice to see you, mate. 51 on a free hit. How are you feeling about that, George? Good, bad, indifferent? I don't know. That feels about par for me. I don't know.
I did Sky on Saturday. And obviously you weren't with me because you were running. Well done on doing your run.
Yes, thank you.
But I had Josh with me and he was on a free hit strategy and we were talking afterwards and he was like, do you know, I actually think that this is, I think it was the first time he played the free hit in a double game week. And he was talking about how it's actually really hard because there's so many options. And even like you'd start talking about the Bournemouth attack and you were like, well, is it this one? Is it that one? Then you'd have the same conversation with Brighton, the same conversation with the Leeds defenders. It's so easy to get it wrong. but be on the right team, but just the wrong player because of the double.
Yeah,
so,
it's
yeah.
tough. Yeah, tough it one. Is tough. No doubt about it. There will be a little bit of, what do the cool kids call it? A bit of variance this week, won't there? There will be a bit of variance.
The cool kids, not us then.
No, not me, certainly not. Tim Felkin is in 77 with 15 to play. Tim, that is very nice, mate. Very nice.
15 to play is decent.
I assume that's a bench, well, it must be a bench boost, right? 77 with 15 to play. Very nice indeed. Chris B is here, 52 on a free hit with João Pedro. We'll talk about him a bit later on. 11 to play again midweek. So I'm sort of getting the vibes from the chat that the bench boosters have done better to the tune of about 10 to 15 points over the free hitters so far. But yeah, I think you'd expect that, wouldn't you? You'd expect that.
Yes, and I think also we probably would expect the free hitters to have, I would imagine, and I might be wrong, that there will be a division in the bench boosters. There'll be bench boosters like yourself who have more doublers on the bench because they've just wildcarded. And there'll be And there'll be bench boosters in more my camp where the wildcard happened a while back. And so the bench boost was made up with just single game weekers. And so for the bench boosters, those extra players may now be done. And so we'll be looking at then just the first 11 for midweek, whereas the free hitters probably still have a full squad of doublers to come, I would imagine.
Yeah, I would have thought so. Wayne Lavelle is here, a member here at the FPL Family Channel. Hey, Wayne, nice to see you. 48 points on the free hit. He's dropped 48k. Yeah, mate, that's a little bit below par, that, but you never know,
mate.
You never know.
A whole round of fixtures to come, effectively, for somebody on a free hit.
Absolutely.
Because you've basically got those players again. So I think, hopefully, your players are the ones that return in the next round.
Absolutely.
Especially if they're the ones I've got as well.
Yeah, Richard's here. Richard Lohman, nice to see you, mate. Richard is in. We've got War Hornet as well. Why is João Pedro silly move that? Do you know what, War Hornet? I don't know if it was. I think I didn't. I don't know about you. I certainly didn't hear anything from the senior.
Nothing.
It wasn't any sort of hint that João Pedro might be injured. I didn't see or hear anything.
It was nothing.
And there it is. I mean, I certainly would have, if I was free hitting this week, would have picked him, I think, because he's got the double game week and it's high ownership, right? It's a bit of a shield pick, isn't it? So, listen, from what we heard from Liam Rossignol after the game, or I think in the press conference in the, you know, the immediate build-up to the game against Manchester United, there was talk about they hope, I think was the word he was using, a lot of hope there. There was a bit of hope that he'd be back for the Brighton game.
Well, they needed him, didn't they?
I tell you what, Liam Delap, I don't know what's happened to this kid, but Chelsea, well, we'll
he's
talk
been Chelsea'd.
We will. I like that. Kingdom's not in, is he?
So sorry, Kingdom.
He's been Chelsea'd. He's been Chelsea'd. We'll talk about, obviously, the Chelsea game a bit later on and what we made of that when we get onto the games. Greg FPL is in. We've got Mustafa here. We've got Chris B, as I mentioned before. Spencer 42 is in. A whole host of you folks in this evening. So welcome along. Welcome to FPL Family. If you're new around here, hit that subscribe button. Hit the like button if you like what we're chatting about. And particularly make sure you hit that like button when the crap slide comes along. You'll know when you see it. Sam, let's get on to some
Lee,
of...
Can I just stop you for a second?
Go on.
Because you haven't mentioned the fact that we're both on a green arrow yet.
Well,
I think the podcasters, obviously the YouTubers, they can see that.
Okay.
But we very rarely have a week where we're both sitting on a green arrow. And I know there's a lot of fixtures
There's still
come.
A lot to go. That's
know,
why I didn't want to,
But
know,
I feel like...
jinx it on
we
it.
Should... Well, I don't know. I feel like this deserves a moment because this doesn't happen very often.
And to be fair, we're both on bench boost and both got tons of double game weekers. So that green should be green, shouldn't it? That should stay green. I mean, it would be a disaster if it didn't.
I mean, I'm like 14 points above my safety score. So if it doesn't stay green, I've had an absolute stinker, haven't I, in the middle of the week?
Jared Bowen hat-trick would be a bit of a stinker.
I mean, that would hurt.
That would hurt.
Although, to be fair, a lot of the wildcarders are free hitting this week. So they might, if they bought Jared Bowen in last week, they'll have free hit him out this week.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. So for the sake of the podcasters, yes, but two green arrows on the screen. I'm at a current rank, all right, it's middle of a game week. There's lots of football to play, all of that sort of stuff. But I'm 123k, which is about 15, maybe 20k up. So is it a success or not, the bench? But I don't know, really. We'll talk about it later on. And you're at 1.24, so what's that? That's a
couple, few, of,
couple of hundred places up. So, yeah, I mean, it's so far so good. So far so
catching
good.
Catching
I mean,
us.
Which is the most important thing.
Well, according to us, it is.
Which is the most important thing, as we found out on the Scout Q&A last week.
And Black Box, because apparently I live in his head rent-free. So as... I'm coming for you.
He did mention it on Black Box as well.
I know, he mentions it everywhere.
Yeah,
he texts me as well, he mentions it.
He's more worried about beating you than Yells, isn't he?
He said to me, the only thing he cares about this season is beating me. Which is mental, isn't it?
It's so good, isn't it?
I love that, man.
All right, let's get on with some of these games, Sam. And, oh no, that's my...
You've teased the crap slide now.
That's my crap slide. Hold on, this is what I want. God. This is what I want. Here we go.
We've got to see it twice now, guys. I'm so sorry.
You've had a sneak peek there at the crap slide. Sam, we very, very, very rarely do this, but... I think we should start with Spurs 2, Brighton 2. And the reason I want to start with that is because all of a sudden Spurs might be...
No.
Say it quietly. Stop they it. Might be FPL relevant for only a week, probably. But they might be FPL relevant. What do you think?
If you would like to see a lady...
Oh, my God. The videos you sent me the other weekend are unbelievable.
If you would like to see a lady borderline have a mental breakdown...
It was, yeah.
And cry twice...
Yeah.
I'm not just
you get emotional now just thinking about it
because genuinely
oh my god
I couldn't even celebrate the goals because I was so emotional. If you want to watch that, head across to our Instagram because I put a reel up and it gives you an insight into quite how emotional and my poor mother, what she had to go through dealing with me yesterday.
Talk us through the roller coaster of emotions that was Spurs versus Brighton then, because I have to say, Max and I are watching it here at home, and we were living it. Like, the Simons goal is something otherworldly. I mean, it was an absolute belter. And I think if that's the winning goal in this game, it changes the mood completely, doesn't it? It's just like the whole week, the whole Spurs social media is about how great Xavi Simons is and how great that goal was. But not to be. Not to be.
I think it still will be about how great that goal was and how great he was, because I think it was a really interesting performance from Spurs. I mean, have I ever missed a game? I don't even think I've missed a game this season. I think I've pretty much been at every home game this season in all competitions. And it has been challenging. It's one word for it. It's been challenging and
emotional as well, week to week.
Well, no, just anger most weeks.
Right, okay.
But this week, it did feel different. Like, it felt different. The warm-up felt different. The atmosphere in the stadium felt different. They gave 60,000 flags out. We all had a flag. Yeah. Every seat in the stadium, there was a flag.
A big white flag. Yeah.
No, we weren't waving big white flags. We were waving Spurs flags. They had the all-together, always banners up everywhere. And it felt different. They had a load of legends. I don't think I told you this. They had a load of legends outside the stadium taking photos with fans and you know, just building a bit of a thing. And it was funny because we kicked off and the guy that I sit next to, he said to me, "What is this?" And I said, "I don't know, David. I think this is attacking football." Because we were playing like a team that were told this is the tactic for today and they went out and did it.
Yeah.
Whereas in the past, we've looked like they didn't really know what they were doing. And I do think from an FPL perspective, it is coming at the right time because next week, obviously, for most managers, it's going to be free hit week. And it's also maybe the opportunity, I think, because Spurs players are cheap. If you haven't got a free hit for next week, they're not a terrible investment between now and the end of the season, because as we were told repetitively, we basically have... Well, it was six yesterday, now it's five. Five cup finals to play between now and the end of the season. So you have got a team that is motivated and driven, that's starting to play in a formation that really clearly understands, for the first time maybe all year, what they are being asked to do by the manager, and a manager that is out there and coaching. And it was funny because during the... Obviously, Bentancur and Bissouma came back from injury. Bentancur, what a world of difference he made. Not just when he was on the pitch.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But when he gets subbed, and we were waiting for him to get subbed, we knew he'd have to go off early because he's just coming back. And he goes off and he stands in full kit next to De Zerbi. And he's like directing traffic and telling them what to do. And I was like, yes, where's this passion from players been? Where is that motivation? And then he eventually gets shouted at by the Lino, who basically drags him away and puts him in a bib. So then he's in a bib doing the same thing and still talking to them constantly. I think there's an opportunity. Do I think we'll stay up? I'm still not convinced we will. I think the other results have got to go in our favour.
West Ham game's big tomorrow, isn't it? It's big.
It is massive. Yeah, yeah. We need a favour from Crystal Palace. And then we need to just see how the rest of the time plays out. I mean, next week against Wolves is huge. We have to go and beat Wolves. And we have to comfortably beat Wolves and give ourselves that opportunity to feel good. Because I think this whole game was so positive, and then we concede two goals to two mistakes in stoppage time, which was really difficult to stomach. Like that last minute goal, it's just a mistake.
The Ruta goal.
It's just a mistake by Danso. Just doesn't put his feet through it, and he trips over it, and it gets lost, and they recover it, and they score from it.
It is, and but I will give Brighton a bit of props there, because about three or four minutes before that, they made the decision to put Jean-Paul Van Heek up front.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
And I noticed him go up there, and I just thought that he's making Danso look uncomfortable in particular.
For sure.
And what he did was he went, I'm going to go and be a nuisance to Danso. I'm not going to be a nuisance to Van de Ven because he'll boss me, but I'm going to be a nuisance to the weaker of the two centre-halves. And that's exactly what he did. I mean, Danso, in hindsight, yeah, maybe he's just got to put his foot
just
through it,
isn't he? Lace it into the top row.
Yeah, of course. But
it's just a mistake.
But that's not how Spurs are trained. That's not how you're drilled. You're trained to put your foot on it and be calm. It's just that Jean-Paul Van Heek was there, not expecting it, picked his pocket because he's as strong as Danso, if not more so. And then no one's picking up Ruter on the edge of the box. Yeah. So, and you were at 10 men at the time as well, because Xavi Simmons couldn't move. Right?
Well, that was problematic because obviously, so he's got cramp. They've given him more gel than I can begin to tell you, because the trainer walks around the pitch to give him one. So he has one. Then the game gets pulled up and he's kind of really struggling. He has another one on the pitch, and then Bergvall sprints the length of the pitch to get him another one. So he's maybe had three or four in the space of about 5 minutes, because we didn't have any subs left. So we are handicapped. We're playing with 10. Danso, do you know what? I thought Danso had a brilliant game. He played so well, apart from that one mistake. And it's just unfortunate that it happens when it does. And it costs us the 3 points and we just get the one. But there were so many positives to build on. And I think going into next week against Wolves, there's an opportunity now to pick up some Spurs players, especially if you are on a free hit next week, because you don't have to keep them beyond 34. You can just have them for Wolves.
So go on, and that's my question. And before I ask it, I just want to say thank you to Alex Marmon for the super chat. Thank you, Alex, for the super chat. He says, here's a super chat for no other reason than to cheer up Sam, and a virtual hug.
Oh,
thank you, Alex. That's very kind of
you. It's funny, isn't it? Because I actually don't feel so bad today as I did the whole game. I was so nervous and I couldn't sit still and I was twitching and I was constantly... I don't know. I was like, it was really difficult yesterday.
So before I ask you the FPL question then, I'm not allowed an opinion on Spurs, but I'm going to give one anyway. I definitely thought there were green shoots. Definitely thought there were green shoots. I thought you pressed better in the first 35 minutes of that game than I've seen you all season press.
Yeah,
right?
Definitely.
So pressing was good. There was identity in the team. I thought the press, particularly from the likes of Bentancur in the middle, meant that the likes of Xavi Simons didn't need to get involved physically as much, because Bentancur was there bossing it and putting his weight around.
Yeah.
So having the likes of Bentancur there alongside Xavi is better for Xavi. Now, look, I still think he got bossed out of it a little bit. He was a bit lightweight. He was throwing himself about a little bit. But that's his game, and that's okay, because he wins free kicks in interesting areas, Xavi Simons. So that's fine. But him and Bentancur did work. So there's definitely green shoots there. The fear I have for Spurs is that, okay, the manager's come in. He's already getting you playing a little bit better than you were before. There seems to be intent in the press. You're scoring a couple of goals. This is going to take time. And I don't know if you have time is the problem.
No,
I don't know if you have time. But he's getting a tune out of them.
The problem is that
already,
we...
a bit.
We haven't had time. As soon as we gave it to Tudor, we didn't have time. Because we spent five weeks pissing in the wind, basically. Now it is going to be what it will be. The fact that we've got... Last week, we should have got a draw out of that game. We should have had a draw. It was just an unlucky deflection. This week, we should have had the win. Like, feasibly, we could have had 4 points in the last two game weeks, and we haven't. Now, I hope that that's motivation enough for them to look at this and go... Because they've all commented about how this... Because the stadium, honestly, it did feel like, for the first time all season, it did feel like we were all together.
Yeah.
And we even the Forest game, it didn't feel like necessarily... We did before, but then it felt like it was us... And then them 11 on the pitch. It didn't. But whereas this week, it did feel like we were almost like a 12th man to them. Like, we did help and we did encourage, and we were with them and they were with us.
So David's family in the chat, thank you for the question. He's saying, can Xavi play? Well, can he play 90? My question would be, can he play at all, given the cramps and the fact that he really was feeling the back of his leg, his knee a little bit at the end of that game? And would he be? I mean, if the manager comes out and says, you know, he's fine, and it is just cramp and he can run it off, and we see him in some training videos and stuff, is he in your two or three Spurs picks then. For let's go on the premise that many listening will be on the free hit in 34. We both are.
Yeah.
I certainly will be looking at a couple of Spurs players. I've got a couple in mind. Talk to me about the two or the three that you would pick.
Pedro Porro is the first name on my list.
Yeah, me too. I think I'd probably have him.
Best game
if fit and available, because there was a bit of narrative about him potentially not being fit.
Best game I've seen him play. In a Spurs shirt, full stop, this one. He was everywhere.
I saw something in the Forest game as well, right? I did see something there.
Look, Porro, actually the same against Sunderland. We said it against Sunderland last week, the first game under De Zerbi. He was back on set pieces. He was very attacking.
Mm.
There were green shoots for him then. This one was the best performance I've watched in, I honestly think, maybe ever from Pedro Porro. He was...
Ever?
Yeah, because he was... The first goal is his mistake. He doesn't pick up the guy at the back, but he is trying to pick up somebody else at the time. So the guy... So Mitoma just gets left, and that's a problem.
Mm.
However, he was attacking. He's on set pieces. The way that we are looking to move the ball under De Zerbi brings him constantly into play. And so every time he goes forward, he's not going to score a goal every week. But I do think the assist potential with him has grown exponentially under De Zerbi's style of play. So
I think it's both, actually. I don't know what it looked like from the stands, but yes, the assist potential is there because of the set pieces and stuff.
Yeah.
But when he's coming forward, he was inverting and pressing.
Yeah, he was.
So he's getting into, like, the reason he gets that header, it's because he's inverting and going forward. Yep. And he's like in there getting like a striker's header, right? Mm. Lovely cross. I can't remember who dinked it across. Who got the assist for that guy? I can't remember. Lovely little cross. And then Porro just gets on the end of it. So, yeah, I do agree with you as well. I think you until you're used to this system, which might not be until next season, but until you're used to this De Zerbi system, there might be gaps on either side where the fullbacks are going forward. You've got to get a system where your number six sits and the two centre-halves play with bigger gaps between them. But that's to come, right? But for now, in FPL, the immediate in FPL is you've got fullbacks that go forward. So and he takes corners. So let's go for it.
Porro, I think, is by far and away the standout pick from Spurs. I do wonder, because actually when you, and I like you, Doggy, but when you, Doggy, went off and he put Spence on, that made a massive difference down the other side, because Spence was doing what Porro was doing on one side. And I thought, it's interesting, because I felt like what he was trying to do with the Udogie Porro thing was have one not be quite so attacking whilst the other one was going. So Porro was doing more of the going and Udogie was doing more of the
sitting
and defending. Yeah. Whereas in the second, when Udogie went off and Spence came on, it became a bit more...
All right. So Porro won. Yeah.
Xavi is my second. Would be my second.
If available.
He'll be available. It's just cramp. Because he's not... We've got to remember, we talk about players coming back from injury and that has been a problem for us. But Xavi basically has no game time for the last few months because Tudor hated him and never played him. I mean, even before that, he was out injured for a while and then he was in and out of Frank's teams. He just doesn't have the match fitness. That's the problem.
Yeah.
But if I can get 78 minutes against Wolves from Xavi, the way that Wolves defend, you should get attacking returns out of Xavi in an 80-minute appearance, 70-minute appearance. And I do think that with the way that we are playing under De Zerbi and the fact that we've now got players like Bissouma and Bentancur who are doing that donkey work so that he doesn't have to do it, one is more likely to pick up the assist because he'll win the free kicks that then Pedro's putting in.
Yeah.
But secondly, I think he's just dangerous and he'll get to the edge of boxes and he's not afraid to have a shot. Now, in the past, that's been frustrating at times because he'll have a shot and they're wayward, but that he was better with that this time around.
Okay.
And then I think the third spot's really interesting because obviously with no Haaland and with no João Pedro and with no Welbeck and Calvert-Lewin and all those other players that we've been looking up top.
Big Dom?
You've got potential with Big Dom. I would say he was the player that impressed me the least in the Spurs team from an FPL perspective. He worked really hard. From a Spurs perspective, he always works hard. But he didn't really have any in product and he wasn't really in that number nine. I wonder whether we might see some Richarlison against Wolves. I don't know. But De Zerbi was really positive about Solanke. And I think in terms of work ethic and what he wants from a striker, Solanke will do all of that stuff that Richarlison won't.
Do you know what? I think
it's a bit risky.
That was another reason I thought the Simons thing worked at the weekend in the game just gone, was because Solanke does such a good job of he's on Van Hek, isn't he? He's on the defenders all the time. He's moving around, and the centre halves have always got one eye on him, and he plays a little bit off the shoulder, and he can get in behind. And he's kind of like almost kind of physically pushing them back towards their own goal a lot of the time. And that creates space between Brighton's defensive line and their midfield line. So then there's more space for Xavi to work in. And I thought that worked really well with Solanke being there. Now with Wolves, I don't know, a Wolves, because Brighton are quite forward thinking, right? They want to attack you. They're good, yes, they're good, yeah, right? They've been really good, really bit, good bit of form. Now, if Wolves decide that actually they want to reduce those spaces between their defensive line and their midfield line and sit a bit deeper, which they might do.
Which they could, yeah.
I mean, they've got that home. They really should try and do something with the game, particularly as they're down now. But if they reduce that space, that might contract the space that Simmons can work in. Yeah. So for me, I'm looking at that and I'm going, well, do I want Simmons if he's in less space to work in and he's got like Gomez and stuff that are sort of like getting on him? Or do I want the striker that's going to put himself about and be a nuisance for them from set pieces and stuff? I'm a bit torn, I think. I think Porro for sure.
There's a risk with Solanke, I think.
You think?
Because he didn't return this weekend. I think his hard work will be something that De Zerbi likes, but we have to score goals.
All right.
So I think he's a bit risky. I think there are other options at Spurs. I would be very wary of going for the goalkeeper because Vaccaro is due back. And I don't know what De Zerbi will do because actually I think Kinski's actually been quite good the last couple of games. He's not done anything wrong. So it will be interesting to see whether Vaccaro is back. Okay. We also have the fact that Maddison was back on the bench this week. We weren't.
Yeah, he's not ready though, is he?
He was there for vibes, wasn't he? He was there to boost the fans, for sure.
But I wouldn't be getting Maddison.
But he is one that, you know, is just sitting there and waiting to maybe get some minutes.
Very good. All right, well, Spurs on the agenda. Brighton then, from their perspective.
They're a really good team.
If you're a Mitoma owner, I mean, that's a roller coaster in itself, just that, right? Because didn't start the game.
off the bench, on the bench.
And then all those that were waiting on Gomez not getting the yellow card last week so that he could play in the double game week. He then goes off after, less than 20 minutes. So if you're a Gomez owner, it's just bang unlucky because not only have you picked him you've been brave enough to take the risk. If you wildcarded last week and brought him in, you've gone, right, I know he's potentially going to get that suspension, but I'm going to trust him and then I'm going to have him as a real differential for the double. Well, you've trusted him. You've had the balls to do that. He's got through that game and then he gets injured. One of your key differentials probably on your wild card for this week. It's a real bummer for Gomez owners.
It didn't look great either. We couldn't work out what had happened in the stands until afterwards when I asked you and it's the way he landed again on match of the day.
Yeah, it wasn't anyone's fault. He just landed bad on his knee. And then Mitoma comes on and scores a very, very nice goal. I mean, that is a really, really well-taken goal from a gross cross as well, right? You sat here last week and I was almost having a go at you for that being a bit of a boring pick. I don't know if that was last week or whatever, it was Ohana, but I was saying to you, that's a boring pick, but
it's very lowly owned gross.
Sometimes in FPL, as we've seen many times this season, the boring picks just tick over. It's another assist for Gross. He gets 3 bonus points. I don't know what for. Like, I'm literally watching that game thinking, there's so many, like Bentancur, I thought was marvellous in that game.
Yeah, but often you don't get the bonus points for being the best player on the pitch.
Well, no, and he also didn't play the full game, right? So Gross feels like he's the sort of FPL player that's just going to like tick those BPS over and somehow find himself in the bonus points because you're just getting assists from somewhere. Like, I mean, the assist for this goal is like, yes, it's a good cross, but it's an unbelievably good finish from Mitoma.
Yeah, but he also gets, he does well for like pass completion stats and things like that. And all of that ticks in the bonus point system. So you don't have to be the best player on the pitch to get bonus points. We see that quite often.
Yeah, Nikolai's saying that in the chat. Gross is like a mini Bruno. And George is saying, I'll take the Gross points. Davis family, Gross, lots of completed passes. Yeah, you're right, guys. You're right. He does all that underlying stuff that doesn't really stand out.
No,
when you're watching a game.
No.
But then you look at the stats at the end of the game. Oh, yeah, actually, he sort of knits it all together.
The thing with the Brighton assets is that, to be honest, with the exception of Verbruggen and Van Heek, they were all differentials. And maybe Welbeck, actually. So whoever you were picking had the ability to turn a game on its head. And I just was like, Gross just feels like the one that just has a little bit of magic in him because he has set pieces.
All right, well, we've spent loads of time talking about Spurs there. Which was nice.
We don't do that
very often here on a Sunday
night,
do we?
Because we might not be able to do it again.
Yeah, all right.
Especially next season.
Having said we're going to go through the games quickly, that's 40 minutes in and we've just done one game. So let's talk about Chelsea 0, Manchester United 1. Kunju with the goal from another Bruno assist. I think he only needs 2 now to match the record of 20 Premier League assists by Henry. And Help me out.
Kevin De Bruyne.
Kevin De Bruyne. Of course it is.
Did you forget De Bruyne?
Of course it is Kevin De Bruyne.
All the ones to forget.
The joint record of 20 assists. Bruno now only two behind. And listen, he's going to get
five
it, isn't
games.
He?
He's going to get it. Get two. He'd probably get two next week.
And he was, again, instrumental in this game. Instrumental. Let's do Chelsea first, though, because a few of us, well, certainly us wildcarders in 32, and even if you didn't wildcard in 32, you were looking at, obviously, João Pedro, who didn't start in this game. We hope he's going to be back, was Rossini's words for the Brighton game. Some of us going for Palmer. There was a few going for Enzo, given that he was going to be back in the squad and in the team. But listen, they look, I mean, they just look off it, don't they? I mean, the one thing I will say when I was watching this game, and I think you were still coming back from the Spurs game, so you missed the opening bit of this game. You didn't watch the bit.
Half an hour in, didn't I?
You didn't watch the bit where Estevao was still on the pitch, no?
No, he'd gone off by the time I got
so
back.
So when Estevao was on the pitch, he gave them a little bit of kind of natural width, and obviously he's got pace, and he was giving them a little bit of trouble. Like, Chelsea looked reasonably balanced with him in the team. Mm. Then he goes off and Garnacho comes on. Chelsea fans, and United fans actually, given his history, tell me what you think of Garnacho. I mean, has there been a worse player in the Premier League? Like, in the last 5 years? I mean, this...
Oh, I mean, there must have been.
Sam, this guy's so bad. And like, Bruno's like eyes lit up on the assist, right? Because he, who is it? Someone plays a nice, but I'm bad with names tonight. Someone plays a really nice ball over the top. Might even be Casemiro. Don't know. Into
it
the
is
soul.
Casemiro. It's Casemiro to Bruno and then Bruno to Cunha.
Yeah, so Casemiro plays a nice ball over into space. And Bruno's right. Bruno, you can see is on his face, he's like, oh, I've got space and it's only Garnacho. So all I've got to do is beat Garnacho and I get a cross in here. And Garnacho's just like, it's like an apologetic. Oh, he's just so no good, is he? He's so no good. But anyway, he's kind of typical, really, of Chelsea at the moment. They're all over the place. Mm. I mean, that's only, what, a couple of wins in the last God knows how many games. LinkedIn Liam's under a bit of pressure. The players...
Why do you keep calling him LinkedIn Liam?
Because his answers in press conferences are like LinkedIn updates. They're so... Like, he's like an AI version of an FPL manager, isn't he? He's just like, he's just about his CV. He's not worried about Chelsea Football Club or success.
Well, he's
going to
need
his
CV, Lee, because he's going to get sacked.
He is. And Chelsea fans will quite happily see him go, I think, because he's just not at it at all. Liam Delap, can't get a tune out of him. It looks like they missed João Pedro massively. Palmer, I thought, was all right, but nothing more than all right.
All right.
Yeah, there's just a general malaise about Chelsea, right?
I didn't want any Chelsea on my... on my bench boost.
I remember you saying you only went for João Pedro just as a spot of a shield, really.
And because I had him anyway. And I couldn't, I wasn't going to sell him. Like, I wasn't going to sell somebody with a double game. It didn't make any sense. But I didn't want it. And I really wasn't keen. And I did not understand the Palmer hype. Now, all right, they have another fixture in midweek and he might come back and haunt me for this statement. But I tell you what, I watched Brighton yesterday. They are a really good team. They are a really, really good team.
Better than Chelsea.
They are far better than Chelsea in the way that Chelsea are playing right now. And they have an opportunity to take the Chelsea spot away from them. And, you know, I think... I just don't get it with Chelsea. I didn't understand the Palmer love before it happened. And it was funny because I went on a bit of a rant about him again on the Q&A. And I think I'm getting a bit of a reputation of not of being a bit mean about Cole Palmer.
Mm.
To the point where Andy from Let's Talk messaged me and was like, why do you hate Palmer so much? And I was just like, it's not that I hate him. I just don't understand the love affair with
him. Do you think he's popular? Do you think us wildcarders and a few of the free hitters got him this week? Okay, it's double game week, of course, but... Do you think many got on Palmer? And by the way, I did see a few, like, there's a few captaincies out there. There's a few Palmer captains this week.
Did Rab to do that?
I don't know. But there was definitely a few Palmer captains out there. Do you think it's because we've all just got the money? Like, because we've all got the money sitting in the bank. So we're like, well, we'll just get Palmer then.
I think there is a reassuringly expensive thing that goes on with him.
Yeah,
and maybe the fact that we don't have to think about, or we haven't historically had to think about Salah over the last few weeks. We'll talk about Salah later. Maybe there is. I think also, like, you look at the double game weeks and you think, okay, when you see that list of double game week teams, Manchester City, obviously you're going to have three. But then you look at the others, Brighton, Leeds, Bournemouth, Burnley.
Mm.
And you kind of go, who did I miss? I missed somebody. Oh, and Chelsea. You look at those other four and you go, well, they don't... Okay. because historically they wouldn't be the big teams that you would invest in. Whereas you look at Chelsea and you go, double game week for Chelsea, all right then.
It's probably heating up as well, isn't it? From sixth down to about 10th in the league.
Well, it's anybody's.
Everyone's on 48 and 47 points. It's tight.
And I don't, and I, honestly, I think that they will, Brighton is a very hard place to go, and I think Chelsea will struggle in midweek.
All right, well, let's look at Chelsea's fixtures for the rest of the season. And obviously, it's the blank coming up.
Are you going to keep
Depends if I want the money or not. I mean, Forest at home in game week 35, is that? God, this is small print on my screen here. Yeah, it's going to, you know, probably going to keep him for that. But what then? Anfield and then Spurs at home, Sunderland away. He's not going to be a priority sell for Forest at home. But if I need the money, I won't hesitate. I won't hesitate. Will I keep João Pedro? Probably. Because of the, probably, again, this is a Shield thing. But if anyone in midfield stands out, then, yeah, probably just get rid of him.
I also think it's the same in the forward line, isn't it? Because, like, Haaland's going to be a lock between now and the end of the season, particularly as we now think that they'll probably go on and win. Most managers will have João Pedro and then Dominic Calvert-Lewin / Danny Welbeck on their wildcard if they've just wildcarded recently. João Pedro is going to be the one. If Igor Thiago starts scoring over the next few weeks.
Start scoring, he is scoring.
But we didn't this week, annoyingly. But do you know what I mean? If he, or if Dom Solanke, or if somebody else starts really like popping their head above the parapet, João Pedro will be the first one I think people look at to sell, because Chelsea just seem to be just disintegrating.
Yeah, Chatterbox, a nice comment as well. He says, remember that the Forest game for Chelsea is between the two legs of the Europa League for Forest. So it's not going to be a game that Forest are going to want to play necessarily. Maybe. I mean, they're going to need the points, right? Probably.
They can't afford to sack off the league, though, can they?
Yeah, true enough. True enough. United then? Decent win for them. They're looking like they're going to cement their position in the top three or four, probably. Carrick's doing a pretty good job. Bruno continues to be an awesome pick. I think probably going to be most people's captains for game week 34, whether you're free-hitting or not. Let's have a look at the fixture ticker for the remaining weeks of Manchester United season. They're right up there. So Brentford at home next week, then Liverpool at home, then Sunderland away, Forest at home, and then Brighton away. So for game week 34, again, free hit thinking, Bruno plus who, if anyone, from Manchester United?
Bottom. So far, for XG this game week, Manchester United.
Well, I noticed that you put that on...
That's the only reason I made this graphic.
The team XG stats for game week 33. This is obviously not the crap slide. You'll know it when you see it, guys. This is not it. This is a really good one that you put together. Team XG stats for game week 33, for the sake of the podcasters. Bournemouth right at the top with 2.99, followed by Leeds and Villa. But right at the bottom with 0.29 XG created this week. Which I've struggled to believe. That seems kind of crazy. United really struggling to create anything outside of the goal. Does that put you off having an Mbeumo? Does it put you off having a Cunha? Does it put you off having a Sesko? And if it does, would you go the other way and have like a Dalot or somebody? I don't know.
Well, look, Max bench boosted this week. His bench boost done really well because he had Kelleher. He had... Dalot and who else did he have? I can't remember now. But his Manchester United assets did him proud because he had Dalot and Bruno and he was quite happy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Look, I'm fascinated by it because obviously for me, I'm looking at the fixtures for next week as a free hitter, thinking, well, I can have three of any of these teams that I fancy. Manchester United stand out to me because it's a decent fixture against Brentford. It's a form team with something to fight for in terms of securing league position. Bruno Fernandes is just a...
Yeah, we don't need to talk about him.
But because we don't need to talk about him, you kind of look at Manchester United and go, well, if I want to make Manchester United work for me, I have to therefore have somebody else. I can't just go with Bruno Fernandes.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
But I really struggle because Cunha's been the one over the last couple of weeks that's been returning the points alongside Bruno. I don't really fancy the double up in midfield, though, because I do think that there's quite a number of good options, and you'll see that in my free hit draft later. I think there's quite a few good options in there that you could have. I quite like the idea of a Manchester United defender, but then I do expect Thiago probably to get something in that game. So it's a difficult one to call with Manchester United. I think Mbeumo will be the one that...
I thought the lads at centre-half actually played pretty well against Chelsea, to be fair. Like they Heaven did. And the yeah. guys that come in. Like there was no Maguire, there was no Martinez.
And Maguire will be back.
Assume so. Thought Luke Shaw and the lad on the other side, Dalot, both played pretty well. So United look fine. Do you know what I mean? They look fine. I mean, I want to give a shout out to Casemiro, though. I think I saw it in the chat earlier, and I think I did see something like 23 DEFCONs or something like stupid,
really
like DEFCONs. And you're like, okay, well, he did his bit to protect the young lads at the back. So, yeah. I mean, he was the defensive heartbeat, would you say that? No, well, he was the first line of defense before you got to the back
he
four,
was
right?
he
put a shift in.
His role reminded me of what it used to be like at your lot in the past, when you always had like a really rock solid midfielder who dealt with it before it hit you defensively.
But the reason I mention him is because I don't know what he's got to be up there in the top. I don't know United top scorers, but Casemiro's got to be up there, right? How many headers he scored this season? Plus, he's been a bit of a DEFCON machine at the minute.
Yeah,
he doesn't seem to be being hauled off on 60, 70 minutes because Carrick seems to just want to run him into the ground until the end of the season because he's going to be off at the end of the season.
Well, and his relationship with Bruno Fernandes is so good, isn't it?
We're sitting here talking about Mbeumo and Cunha because they're kind of, inverted commas, a bit sexier picks, but Casemiro's right there.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes, you know, you had a little bit of a moan about Gross last week, and I think, well, yeah, but sometimes the slightly unsexy FPL picks are the ones that actually come good.
This is the unsexiest FPL season ever, isn't it? I mean, we're all sitting here counting DEFCONs. Even I was sitting there watching a match with Max earlier, and he was talking about, that's another good DEFCON for my defender. Who's he got in that game? Was it Gabriel or something? I don't know. Maybe the Liverpool. Was it Liverpool Everton? Don't know. But he was talking about counting DEFCONs, and I'm like, This is what the sort of new generation of FPL managers are going to be doing, right? Yeah. They're sitting there counting DEFCONs. It is bloody boring compared to what we've had in the past, where we loved the attacking fullbacks and the assists and the XA and all the rest of it. Now we're counting frigging DEFCONs, but that is where we're at.
I quite like that because it's a whole nother route to points. Like Casemiro's route to points is really strong now because DEFCON's there. But he's also got this attacking threat and he's got XA potential as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's plenty of opportunity, I think. It's just, it really surprised me to see them so low on this graphic. And I think we just need to be mindful of that heading into the midweek, onto next week's round, particularly as it's Brentford, who have actually been quite good defensively this season.
Very good. All right. I get the feeling we're not going to get through all these games, are we? But what else do we want to discuss? Newcastle 1, Bournemouth 2 then on Saturday. Let's do that game. I, for some reason, I don't know why, it must have been having a very senior moment, bought Anthony Gordon in on my wild card in game week 32. I think the reason for doing it was because not only did he have Palace at home in game week 32.
Thought their mind would be on other things.
And I thought their mind would be on other things and they'd just come out of Europe. I thought, well, that's a good game for him.
Okay.
Then I thought, well, Bournemouth at home this week, that's not too bad. Okay, it's not a double, but it's a reasonable game.
Yeah.
Then I thought, well, I'm free hitting in 34, and then in 35 they've got a decent game, so he's a bit of a longer term pick for me. As it happens, he's been completely naughty stepped, hasn't he? I think he's come out and I think he's come out and said something about, you know, he's I don't know the exact quotes, you guys will tell us in the chat, but there was something about him and his future for next season. And then Eddie Howe comes out and says, I only want to work with players that definitely are committed to me for this season and next season.
A bit like Cole Palmer.
And I think he's been properly naughty stepped. So not even in the squad for this game. So there I am on a bench boost this week. No bloody Anthony Gordon. So straight away I'm a man down, aren't I? And down to 14 rather than 15 on the bench boost, which is a complete nightmare. Anyway. They missed him and they're no good at the minute, Newcastle. Like, I didn't see the prop. Fair play to Bournemouth, right? We should absolutely say Bournemouth are on one at the minute. And the fact that he's leaving at the end of the season, someone somewhere, and it might even be my club, are going to pick up a bloody good manager.
He's already got a club. He knows where he's going.
He's top manager, and Bournemouth will miss him, no doubt about it. But notice the narrative that seems to be going along with it, right? He's announced that he's going to go, and it's not kind of like, oh, bloody hell, you're abandoning ship. It's just like, no, we were really lucky to have you, and you go with our blessing because we know you're destined for bigger things.
Who was it that they interviewed after the game? One of the players, I can't think who it was now, and he said, and they asked him directly about it, and he said, no, it's had the opposite effect. We just want to win for him so badly between now and the end of the season.
That's how much they love him.
We just want to make him proud. And what I love about Bournemouth as a club generally is that, like, unlike Crystal Palace, where this whole situation with Glasner was so badly managed in that earlier part of the season, this situation, they've made a decision. They've announced it when the club and he have agreed on it. And then within a few days, the new manager is like lined up and ready to go. So the players don't feel like they're in limbo. They feel supported and like they understand what's happening.
Just a good club.
They're just a really, they are a really good club.
Good club. Yeah.
I think partly because they've still, despite the fact that they're a blimmin' good Premier League side, they still have that like community small club ethos and mental like feeling about them. Do you know what I mean? Like they all feel like they're a unit and they're together.
I just think they're well run. I remember listening to a podcast maybe a year or so ago, one of these kind of high performance or something podcasts, and it was somebody reasonably high up in the Black Knight Group. The Black Knight Group is
MCO,
the multi-club organisation that owns Bournemouth as well as a bunch of other clubs, including I'm going to get this wrong, but it's like St Etienne and there's a whole bunch of other clubs somewhere. But Bournemouth are clearly the jewel in that crown. Mm-hmm. They're the Premier League club. They're the club that all these other clubs kind of feed. And I remember listening to this guy thinking, what a sound guy. Like he was just a properly knew what he was talking about. And you just get a feel for it. I was just like, this guy's like properly, I just trust him what he's saying. And he's got a plan and everything else. And, you know, no shock that translates onto the pitch.
No, they're really good. They're a really good club. And they've got really, really, really good players. And then I said to you, didn't I, the other day, like Spurs have apparently now got an agreement in principle with Senesi for next season, as long as we stay in the Premier League.
Oh, really?
I mean, my God, do I want... That is motivation in itself to stay in the Premier League, because I think Senesi is... what a talented player. Him and James Hill.
Do you think he's just talented, though, because of how the tune that Iriola gets out of him at Bournemouth?
Like, possibly. Yeah,
I don't
possibly.
Know. Someone will tell me that Dean Housen's having a great year at Real Madrid, but is he? I don't know.
I just think he's a really... I think what I like about the Bournemouth players is how hardworking they are. It's kind of irrelevant to FPL, but they work really hard. They're a really good unit and a really good system. And I think, you know, in FPL, James Hill, Senesi, they've been fantastic for us. We've both got Tavernier. It pops up with the goal this week. Delightful.
Love it.
I was feeling a bit meh, I must say, about the Tavernier pick because I brought him in. I was quite pleased to have him. It never really hit the ground running. Then he doesn't take the pen and that upset me. And so this week to get a goal out of him was really nice when I saw that pop through in, when I was at Spurs yesterday. I mean, I really like them. And I think going into midweek, I can see me holding Tav and Senesi now between now and the end of the season, to be honest, because I think they've got the motivation and the drive and they're just really good assets.
The challenge with Bournemouth, though, as you guys can see that are watching us on YouTube, is that obviously no game in 34, but if you're free hitting, that's okay. But according to the Fantasy Football Scout ticker, I have them, or they have them, bang at the bottom. So game week 35, Palace at home, which looks absolutely fine. 36 is away at Fulham, which
also feels fine.
Also feels fine, given they feel a little bit beachy at the minute, Fulham. 37 is Manchester City at home. Going to be tricky, no doubt. And then it's Forest away on the final day. I think probably the Fantasy Football Scout ticker has them at the bottom, mainly because they don't have the game. It's a bit skewed, isn't it?
The thing is, it's skewed because you'll notice, if for those of you that are looking on YouTube, most of the blank game weekers are low down because they have a blank game week next week. And Bournemouth's second, that's the first hit. And the big hit is that they've got Man City in there. So when you have Man City and a blank, it's going to drag you right down, regardless of what the other fixtures are. And the other fixtures are middling.
Fine,
but they're middling on the ticker, but they actually look fine in reality for Bournemouth.
And actually, that City game in 37, that's Iriola's last home game.
Yeah, yeah.
So who knows? I mean, they could yet cause a ripple
they're on track.
That's, do you know what, 37, Iriola's last home game, City going to Bournemouth, that's not easy for City. If Bournemouth carry on the way they're playing, that is not easy for City.
Yeah,
not saying that City won't have the title in their sights and they'll be just on one by then, but that's not easy. That not easy for Man City. Let's go and discuss.
Before we move on from Newcastle, because Newcastle are a team that do have a game next week. But I don't. It's Arsenal for a start. I don't think there's anyone
bang out of form though. No, I just don't know who I'd pick.
No, I
Will Asula, maybe?
I think that's all I'm saying is we shouldn't move on without just cursory word on Newcastle, because they do have a fixture next week, despite the fact it's away at Arsenal. I don't like them as options, because I just can't see that there's a win there. And I don't know what's going to happen with Anthony Gordon in that situation. So, and they really did miss him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a bit of a no from me on Newcastle.
Absolutely. That's a couple of goals in a couple of games now for Will Asula. He seems to be doing all right.
Okay.
Yeah, I think there's going to be better options, isn't there? Better options. Let's do the Merseyside derby then. Everton 1, Liverpool 2, because Liverpool's fixture coming up next week in game week 34, that is going to be investable. It's Palace at home, right? Palace at home for Liverpool. And then it's Manchester United away, Chelsea, Villa and Brentford. So the run-in is not easy for Liverpool. It's not. But Palace at home looks pretty good for us that are free hitting in game week 34. Is it time for what?
One last fling with the Egyptian king?
Well, it maybe is. I mean, listen, I'm not... difficult. Oh, am I happy with the result? Yes, of course I am. Of course I am.
You got very excited at the end.
I was cool, calm and collected when that Van Dijk header goes in, as you well know. As you well know, very, very
No, I'll tell you, I'll give you an insight into, without telling you anything about what Lee did, Evie, who was sitting in the living room with us at the time, looked over and she just went, "Are you done?" That gives you an insight into what Lee may or may not have done.
Oh, there's nothing better than a 99th minute winner in the Merseyside derby. And it's the first game of the Hill Dickinson. Oh, yes. Get in. Absolutely brilliant result. Performance, not great again. Not great. I have to tell you, I do not think that we deserve to win this game 2-1.
No, and I think that's why you reacted in the way that you did. Because I think had you thought you deserved it, you'd have just been like, well, thank God for that, because we deserved that. Whereas actually this one was very much a smash and grab, it felt, at the end.
Oh, totally. Totally. And the Beto goal as well. It's so easy. It's so easy to score against us, right? Like Dewsbury Hall completely does Konate. Konate's like twice his size. And he still manages to wriggle past him and get across to Beto. And then because Andy Robertson's 56 years old, he cut good luck with him next year, by the way. His legs are completely
gone. Well, he's only coming if we stay up as well.
Well, I think he'd be better for you in the Championship, frankly. I think his legs are too gone for the Premier League. But he will give you some leadership, which you desperately need. But Beto's just like better than him. Do you know what I mean? Beto is just gets ahead of Andy Robertson and Robertson can't react. But anyway, look, I'm not going to sit here, because George says every week about you being negative. I'm not going to sit here and be negative, because I'm so positive about that result. And because of what else happened this weekend, that puts us now with a little bit of a buffer in fifth, right? I can't believe I'm sitting here being delighted about being fifth after how we got on last season. But here we are, we're fifth, and we might get Champions League football, and we're in a reasonable position to do so. From an FPL perspective in this game, though, I mean, sure, right? I mean, yeah, that's now, what, 3-3 games in all competitions for Salah, isn't it? Or is it 3-3 in the Premier League? Don't know. Anyway, he's getting some goals lately. He's back on it. And more importantly, in some of the post-match videos that I saw from inside the dressing room, I don't know how they're getting videos inside the dressing room nowadays, but they are, he looked happy. He looked like a
happy
Mo Salah.
Because he knows it's nearly over. He knows he don't have to deal with Slot for much longer.
Well, I did see the two of them, you know, like, do you remember when at the end of games, you know, Klopp would go and like hug all the players and it'd be just a massive loving? He and Salah give a very kind of what I would call professional, like, you know, one of them, not a handshake, but like a one of them, you know, like a, you know, one of them. But there's no hug or anything. Do you know what I mean? There's no... What?
That was a great description for the podcasters.
Well...
A one of them podcasters.
As you know, and as you guys know, when the final whistle goes... That next 2 or 3 minutes, I think there's loads of FPL insight you get in that 2 or 3 minutes after the full time whistle that people that love the analytics crew, it's not even on their radar because they're worried about how many runs Salah's made. But I think you get a real feel for how the players are reacting to each other and how they react to the manager. And Salah and Slot give it a very professional, well done. And that was it.
They hate each other.
Moved on very quickly. There's no love lost.
They hate each other.
Yeah, correct. But that said, our fans obviously stayed in the stadium. Liverpool were milking it. The players are milking it for all it was
obviously
worth.
I mean,
the Merseyside derby.
They've
of course
got a
they're
2 minute
going
walk
to.
Home, of course.
Of course they're going to. So Salah on a free hit in 34. Yeah, sure. Why not?
Would
I captain him? Absolutely not.
Why? I might.
Well, first of all, Bruno's right there.
Yeah, I know, but
You're going to captain Salah?
I'm thinking about it.
Listen, he'd probably be my vice captain, but I'm not going against Bruno.
See, I'm thinking about it because I think
you definitely can.
I think there's an opportunity this week because the way I look at it is this: for the managers that have
we never beat Palace, by the way, they're our bogey team.
For the managers that have free hitted this week and don't have a free hit for next week, they will not have Mo Salah.
That's true.
So I look at this and go, okay, the only people that have got Mo Salah for this week, I mean, people might transfer him in, of course, but for the majority of people,
it's only the free hitters, isn't it?
It's only the free hitters. And I look at that and I think, is this my moment?
Is this the one that gets you in the top mil?
Is this... No, I'm going to be there before the end of this game week.
Good.
Is this the moment where there is a captain right there that is a legend of the game?
Yep.
That is in form, that is playing for a team that aren't in form but have motivation. And...
Funny word to use with us this season, but yeah, sure.
And... could I just steal a march on those that don't? And also...
The one thing that bothers me, though, is that we're shit.
No, but you're not.
We are. This was shit today.
Yes, but...
We got a result, yes, but
we're
crap.
I'm not being funny, but you've not exactly been great for the last few weeks, and yet there's been Salah, every time he started him, popping balls in the net.
Listen, I'm not against it. Obviously, I'm not against it. And will I have him? Out of respect for the man, yes, I will have him in my
pre-game. See, I think I might just go there with the
captaincy. I don't mind it.
You know who won't have him and won't captain him?
All the non-free hitters.
As Phillips.
Oh, God, he's in your head now.
No, he's not in my head. I just love the idea of winding him up.
Rich is in the chat straight away. This is the move that I'll make you beat Az Sam.
Do you know, and can you imagine how stressed Az will be? He'd be so stressed knowing I'm going a differential captain on Salah. But I look at Liverpool and...
Who do you have then? Salah, Virg?
Salah and Virge pick themselves.
Yep.
The question for me is the third one. Because I have developed a bit of a little love affair with Dom Szoboszlai. I think he's just great. And I sold him this week and I didn't really want to, but I had to really because I had to get Pascal Gross and that's worked out. But I didn't really enjoy selling him. And then at the end, and he didn't really do a lot in today's game. But then right at the end, he sticks that ball into Virgil. And I said to you, didn't I? Three weeks ago... I'd have been loving
goal.
That.
Yeah.
That's the dream because I had both of them and that's perfect. I didn't have either of them today, which was a bit frustrating, but it made you happy, dear, so I was happy.
Yeah. There will be people that watch that game today and go, oh, Gakpo. Please don't choose Gakpo. Please don't choose Gakpo. Like, every team in the world has worked him out that he'll come inside and shoot, come inside and shoot, come inside and shoot. For some reason, Everton just let him do it today. They just let him do it. And the pass, the assist for the Salah goal, is like insanely good. It's really, really good. But they still let him do it.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they did that, Everton. But every other team this season doesn't let him do it. And when he's not allowed to do it, he doesn't do the things that we want. Whereas Szoboszlai is on corners, he'll take free kicks, and he's our best player this season. Right, so just get him.
Right now, at the moment, I've got Virgil and Salah, and then my backup goalkeeper... is your backup goalkeeper.
Oh, Freddie's going to get the start now, isn't he? Oh, Woodman.
Well, Freddie's my backup goalkeeper at the minute.
Yeah.
Because he's nice and
3.9?
cheap. Yeah, he's nice and cheap. He's
get
a great enabler. And I was like, oh, you can come sit on my bench. I had to go and find a picture of him to make my graphic in a minute. You'll see him in a minute.
But that locks you out of the fray, though, doesn't it? It locks you out of Szoboszlai.
But at the moment, I'm just feeling my way because I've got to work out what I'm doing over the course of the next couple of days.
George Lee, Captain Gakpo, mate.
I want to watch West Ham and Palace tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because I think that will have a big impact on what I decide to do in terms of Liverpool and whether I treble up on Liverpool or just go for the double up.
Yeah.
And if I'm just going for the double up, then I will have Woodman because it makes sense just because he's cheap. So I will end up with three, but I won't have three playing, if that makes sense.
Attaboy saying I might go Rio. Don't do that, mate. And the reason you shouldn't do that,
just doesn't seem to like him enough.
Well, the other thing is that Robertson played more or less 90 minutes today, which means that Kirkez will play against Crystal Palace. I know there's a week to, you know, we haven't got a midweek game, but he'll still play Kirkez against Palace. He never plays Rio ahead of Kirkez, right? Never. And it happened for about a few minutes in this game. But Rio hasn't learned yet to track back or do any of the defensive work. So you need Robbo there, right? You don't need Robbo doesn't do the bombing on anymore. He'll actually defend, whereas Kirkus does the bombing on. And if you've got Rio that doesn't defend and Kirkus not defending, you're completely exposed on that side. Mm-hmm. So I'm not expecting Robbo to start against Palace, and therefore I'm not expecting Rio to start. No. He'll put Gakpo there, and he'll probably start with Isak again.
Yeah,
probably, because it's another week. Right, Isak got 70 minutes today at about 8 touches. I feel sorry for the guy, because clearly we haven't figured out how to play with this guy yet, right? This is not a... He's almost like the complete opposite to Firmino, right? Firmino was a...
I love that man.
Working it around, I'll create something. Whereas Isak, at the moment, this might change, but it's a get me the ball kind of guy, right? He's a service striker.
Yeah.
And we just haven't figured that out yet. So I wouldn't go for Isak either on a free hit. It's a nice differential, right? But Virgil, Salah and... I think probably Szoboszlai's the free.
Should we talk about free hits then? Well, let's get into this game week results, I guess, and then go into the free hits, because I don't... Yeah. I think in reality...
What else to discuss on this week, though?
Well,
we've done it all?
I, the thing is that a lot of the stuff that we're going to discuss... Yeah, but we'd be here all nightly.
Yeah, we've done too much already. Right, Gibbs White hat-trick, well done.
We didn't
really
even talk about Man City and Arsenal.
We did at the top of the show, didn't we?
We just spoke about how we thought the Man City were going to win the league now, and then we just...
Well, we can do that game if you want. We'll do that.
Gabriel's... Well, maybe...
Should Gabriel have been sent off?
Yeah.
100%.
I mean, to be honest, I'm glad he wasn't, because he was on my bench boost. Banner for having naught on the bench boost, let alone... You got naught and naught, I've just realised.
Yeah, my bench... Well, we'll get to that. We'll get to how crap the bench boost has
been. I mean, to be honest, we're lucky we didn't have minus points from Gabriel, because I think he should have been sent off.
Yes.
I mean, there is a...
That is a red card.
I also enjoy... But what I will say... about is I didn't want him sent off, because I was so enjoying the tussle with him and Haaland. Like the row that was going on between them. The shirt, like when Haaland's Under Armour is ripped and he's got to have a new one. I thought this is Premier League football at its best, this war.
And the ref tried to let it breathe as well, didn't he? He actually
reffed it quite well, I thought.
Wait, hang on, stop.
You're not going to say something nice about a ref, are you?
Someone timestamp this.
Holy shit.
I thought he had a good game, the ref. And I thought he let that breathe, that battle. And I thought he refed it well. Should he have sent Gabriel...
Checking if Lee's feeling all right.
Should he have sent Gabriel off? Yes, he's got that wrong.
Yeah, but also, he gives a yellow card. So VAR can intervene.
Well, yeah, okay. Yeah, well, whatever.
And
anyway,
they didn't.
So, which was Gabriel should have been sent off. Oh my God, how good is Ryan Cherki? I've got to just sit here every Sunday and just talk about how great he is. I'm going to do it every week he plays. I think he's a properly, properly good player.
Yeah.
The feet is just unbelievable. Left and right. Yeah,
do you know what's really
City
annoying?
City fans, you have got a player. Holy shit.
Do you know what's really annoying, though?
Yeah.
He's blooming French. The French team are so good.
They're so good.
It's ridiculous. How are they? They're going to win the World Cup.
Don't even know if he gets in the French national team, does he?
That's how good they are.
Yeah. Maybe with Hugo not there now, maybe he does. But
they're
so
good, they're going to win the World Cup.
You got Mbappe and Elise and all that.
They're excellent. They are blooming excellent. And I thought Cherki was really good. Haaland, so I was raging at him when he puts that ball. He puts a hospital ball across to Semenyo. And I'm like, man alive, what is that? Because if you put that on properly, Semenyo scores. We get an assist and a goal from those two. And
yeah, because Semenyo slips and you're just like, oh, Antoine.
It's not his fault. It's the pass from Haaland. Really frustrating, but we've got Burnley up next, so I wasn't necessarily expecting a lot of FPL points for Haaland and Gehi and Semenyo today, because I did think that this game might be a bit of a tighter, cagier affair, but then going into the midweek round against Burnley, that's where I'm expecting Semenyo and Haaland and Cherki and O'Reilly and Gehi to give us some decent returns.
Yeah, and as George is saying, O'Reilly was sensational as well. Yeah, as much as we're waxing lyrical about Cherki and the French team, listen, English team have got some decent players themselves. And
start him.
This kid, O'Reilly, looks pretty special. He does look pretty special.
He does indeed.
Thank you, Alex, for the super chat. A quick super chat from Alex. He says, Martinez saw red for touching a ponytail, whereas Gabriel headbutts Haaland and only a yellow. How is holding a ponytail worse than a headbutt? Alex?
We don't know.
As you know here on FPL, maybe you're new to the channel, Alex, and if you are, thank you for the super chat and hit the subscribe button, all the rest of it. But as you know, I regularly will question the decision-making and the integrity of some of the refereeing in this league. I think it's utter guff, to be honest with you. So how can Martinez get a red for a little pull, but Gabriel not for headbutting Haaland?
We don't know.
I don't know, mate, but that is fairly consistent with how shit the refereeing has been all season.
But I do... In some ways, I do blame VAR for this one because the ref gives a yellow.
Why not? Yeah.
That is a prime example of the ref going, I don't know if you've headbutted him or not. I'll give him a yellow because now you can look at it and tell me if I've got it wrong.
Yeah.
And they don't.
All right. Very good. Very good. Let's do our scores then. So, scores for this week. I'll go first. Right. So, this is my bench boost team so far. 63. 63. God, so, for the podcasters... so far, it's Verbruggen in goal with 2, O'Reilly 7 at the back, Hill 4, Van Hecker 6, but obviously not a clean sheet. That is an assist in there, isn't it? And I think some Defcon as well. In midfield, Bruno 6, Palmer 2, Tav 7, Semenyo 2, Haaland captain 12, João Pedro 0, Welbeck 2. And on my bench, it really is the Leeds defence holding that up. It's Darlow 6, Strauch 7, Gordon 0, Gabriel 0. So is the bench boost a success for me or not this week? You have to say, based on the Gordon and Gabriel zeros, no, it looks pretty crap. But Darlow and Strauch are pretty much holding it up for me. Let's see what happens when they go away to Bournemouth. I don't think they're going to keep a clean sheet away to Bournemouth. I just don't see it. Bournemouth are the better side, in my opinion. So Darlow's 6 will probably become a 7 or an 8, and Strauch's 7 might become an 8 or a 9. So what can I realistically expect on the bench boost? I don't know, what's that going to be? A couple of 8, 16, 17 points, maybe? 18 if I'm lucky and Strauch gets Defcon. Is 18 enough for a bench boost?
Yeah, I think it's fine.
Maybe. I don't know. But Gordon and Gabriel with 0 and 0 really is crap. I feel like because of the 0 and 0, I feel like I've wasted it. It doesn't feel good. Feel good at all. But anyway, 63. It is what it is. My game week rank is 805. My overall rank, as I said at the beginning of the pod, is 123, 123K. That's a rank change, a green arrow of 15%. I've got a whole bunch of players to play again, including those Leeds boys on the bench. And 2 free transfers going in to game week 34. Not that I'm going to need them because I'm going to be playing the free hit. Yeah. So,
but you'll have those 2 for 35 though, which will be really helpful.
And I will need them, yeah, because I'm looking at this team and I'm already thinking there's some dross in here that I'm going to need to get rid of Gordon and Palmer, right? So I'm going to need at least 2 free transfers to get rid of that crap. right, let's talk about your team then. So 61 so far this week for the podcasters. That's Dubravka with a 0 in goal, Gehi 1, Van Hek 6, Biol 6, Senesi 2, Semenya 2, Bruno 6, Tav 7, Gross 8, like that, João Pedro 0, Haaland captain 12, and then the bench is boosted, and it's Roofs with 1, Rodgers with an 8, Thiago 2, and then Gabriel 0.
Yeah, frustrating week in some ways. Like, Dubravka, just don't be a prat. You don't have to concede the forfeits, unnecessary. I would have taken one.
Looked Roofs... so good at half-time, didn't it? Being 1-0 up.
You're honestly, like, such a
especially prat. As that result would have been a massive shot in the arm for you lot.
Yeah, it was one of those things where, would I have liked Darlow instead? Absolutely. Was I going to spend minus 4 points to get Darlow instead? No. So no. It is what it is with him. Morgan Rodgers, I'm pleased with. Thiago, I'm disappointed with. Gabriel is just an absolute waste of space. And Roofs, again, I feel a bit disappointed with him because I just felt like he had the potential to not concede as many as he did. The rest of them, though, I'm fairly happy with. Biol and Gross were my transfers in. Both of them coming up trumps with 6 and 8. So very happy with them. João Pedro is annoying, but I do feel like actually it's a nice green arrow. It sets me up well for the midweek round, I think. Obviously, tomorrow I'm going to take a hit because I don't have any Crystal Palace and I don't have any West Ham.
Yeah.
So I will take a bit of a hit there. I've got hope Jared Bowen is quiet. Hope Ismail Assar and Munoz are quiet.
Not that highly owned Palace anymore, are they? Palace defence? Not like beginning of the season.
Some wildcarders had them on the basis that they're going to double and they were free hitting this week. And okay. So there was a bit of that going on. I desperately want a Palace victory in that one, to be honest. And Jared Bowen to be really, really quiet because that would help me in FPL.
Yeah,
okay. But then going into midweek, I don't have very many Chelsea. Obviously, if João Pedro could make an appearance, that would be helpful.
Just anything, Jean Pedro.
Just anything.
Nice.
Just turn up would be nice, yeah. You absolute moron. And then Van Heck and Gross, I would expect them to do. No, don't poor guy him. He's not giving me any indication that he's not going to play if he did.
They're hopeful.
Well, I'm hopeful that he might turn up and get me a point. Anyway, Van Heck and Gross, I'm happy with. So I think they'll do quite well against Chelsea. I'm happy. Also, what the hell? Why has Senesi not got DEFCON?
Yeah, that's a bit of a shock because Hill did, right? Just
what
not for Senesi.
Happened.
I'll tell you what happened. He got linked with Spurs and he suddenly turned crap.
Fair. and then obviously Gay, he got booked today. He didn't get DEFCON either. Semenyo, I saw the points flash before my eyes with Haaland's hospital ball. It could be better, but actually it's a green arrow. It's a big green arrow.
Yeah.
And I think going into midweek, I'm hopeful that continues. Obviously my bench is done at 11, which does feel disappointing because that's less than Gay, he got on his own on my bench last week. So had I just bench boosted last week, I'd have been in a better position than I am this. However, we move. And I feel fairly positive.
All right. Okay. So it's a rank change of 16% in the upwards direction. Again, week rank of 1.06. So an overall rank of 1.24, 1835 on the overall points with one free transfer in the bank and 2.4 million. But not, Sam, that you'll need it either because we are both going to free hit in game week 34. For those of you waiting for the crap slide that I've put together, here it is. Crap slide alert. This is game week 34. They are
just words. It's just words. It's badly.
Like, I know.
Not even aligned properly. It's not even our proper font. It's just.
I know. Compared to what you pulled together, it is crap. I understand that.
What made you do it like this?
I don't know.
Why didn't you just say, Sam, I need a graphic?
Well, why don't we talk for it quickly and then we can get to the draft?
Okay. Yeah. Because right? It's making my eyes hurt.
What? That bad. Come on.
It's making my eyes bleed.
It is a bit crap. But
podcasters will be coming just to have a look, won't they?
The podcasters are like, get on YouTube immediately to have a look at this crap slide. So these are the teams that play in game week 34. And as you can see, Spurs there, certainly on paper. Thank you, George. You know what? George says, look, you know what? I like that slide. He says, thank you, mate. I appreciate
George,
it.
George, no one likes a suck-up.
I appreciate it.
No one likes a suck-up, George. You don't need to be that person.
Danny McDonald says, have you used clip art for this? Remember clip art from, 1997?
In a minute, we'll see that, weird little yellow guy, with the book that just would come with his glasses on. Like, do you know?
Clippy? Yeah, the little paperclip.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, he was a paperclip.
No, the emoji. Yes, that's the clip art guy.
Yeah.
The emoji yellow guy with arms. Yellow ball with arms. He used to come with his glasses on and a book and just rock and roll.
What are you talking about? It's a paperclip.
Not talking about the paperclip guy.
What are you talking about then?
When we get off here, I'll find him and I'll show it to you.
You've got mad. It's a little paperclip.
I'm not talking about the paperclip.
Look, there's loads of there's people in their 20s listening to this going, what the hell are you two talking about? Right.
I'm going to find it now.
For those of you that remember the paperclip on the Microsoft thing, you'll know, but you're talking nonsense. Game week 34, free hit. Spurs top of the shop with the Wolves game. Sunderland versus Forest looks pretty good, as does Everton versus West Ham. As you can see with the crap font that I've put together on the right-hand side, this is kind of what I was thinking, right? Kind of what I'm thinking in terms of what the foundations, let's say, of a game week 34 free hit are going to look like. And we're going to show you drafts in just a second. And like we said at the beginning of the pod, there's some similarities, but there's some differences, some differentials as well. In terms of Arsenal, I'm thinking, because Newcastle at home, right? And on paper, in most other seasons, you'd go, well, it's a tricky little game. But the way that Newcastle are playing at the minute, I'm probably going to have free Arsenal, I think. Now, Gabriel is a lock, but I probably want two other Arsenal. And I'm thinking about Raya, I'm thinking about who do I have from an attacking perspective, because it's a little bit, not a lot of XG going on, is there, from open play?
No.
Although I did think Havertz played quite well today. So Gabriel plus two, couple of Spurs, I'm probably going to have a couple of Spurs. Mukiele maybe, Sunderland at home to Forest. So do we want any Sunderland? I'm not probably going to go crazy, but maybe a Mukiele or an Alderete if I really need the money.
Yeah.
So I've got him in there. Free Liverpool. Bruno plus one. Could be a Bruno plus two. I don't know. For those of you that are free hitting, it could be a plus two. But Bruno plus one other, I'm thinking, from a Man United perspective. A Palace attacker, maybe, because we all know how crap we are defensively.
But then why would you get Virgil?
Well, because of the threat from set pieces. But I'm telling you now, Jean-Philippe Mateta will give us Beto-style problems. Like the way that Beto got across Robbo today. And there's the handful. Like, our defence has not been good against handful strikers. And Jean-Philippe Mateta, I'm scouting him tomorrow night against West Ham. Because if he looks decent again, I'll get him. I'll get him against us. I'll get him against us. Absolutely. Because I think he could do very well. Bowen as well is on my thoughts. Rodgers and Watkins, and then maybe a Villa defender as well. Because the Villa game doesn't look too bad either against Fulham, who are, in my opinion, a little bit on the beach. That's probably, of all the fixtures, that's the one that's quite hard to call, don't you think?
Yeah.
Villa.
Yeah.
Away at Fulham. What are you still looking at for this
I've
bloody
got to
thing?
Find it.
Okay. Do you know, it's so off-putting when I'm talking to you and you've got your head in your phone.
I'm listening to you.
No, you're not.
I am.
On your phone.
I'm listening to you. You're talking about Fulham and Aston Villa and I don't agree.
What are you
I
doing on your phone? You're still looking at this clip art thing.
Yeah, here he is. I found him, look.
Brilliant. What do you think of the free hit 34 that I've been talking about for the last 20
because
minutes?
Because you said
some interaction?
That I was mad and I thought, I'm not mad.
Right, show everybody the bloody picture so we can get on with game week 34. What even is it?
There you go. Can you see?
Great.
There you are. It's not the clip art man. It's the little yellow ball man.
Right.
He's great.
Great content for podcasters, that. Are we done? Excellent. Game week 34 free hit. What did you make of all the things that I've discussed?
Well, for a start, I don't like your slide. For a second thing, I don't agree with you on Villa and Fulham. I think the way that Fulham are playing, I think that's easy you go for Villa. I agree with you.
Easy you go for Villa.
Yeah. I agree with you on watching Crystal Palace tomorrow. See, I was listening to everything you said. Crystal Palace, I agree with you watching them tomorrow. And I do worry about, I think if you're going for a Palace attacker, I'd be less inclined to go for a Liverpool defender, depending upon how we see them. And yes, I do appreciate that from set pieces, you have the threat from Virgil. But I just think if you're going to go with a Palace attacker, then you probably play a different defensive unit. Just because I don't like players playing against each other. Of course, in a blank game week like this one, you're going to kind of have to for some teams. But we know that Liverpool will sleepwalk. It could very easily, and was looking like Virgil wasn't getting a lot until right at the death of this game. And then he pops up with a goal, which of course can happen. I agree with you on a Sunderland defender. I think that that's an interesting option. Even if all you do with the Sunderland defenders is leave them on the bench, because they're cheap, it does mean that you can build a squad that does have Salah. And if you wanted it, you could easily build a draft that has Salah and Isak and Bruno and has, you know, Virgil as well. Like, you can create a team that does have the ability to have all of these expensive assets because you have the likes of Makiele and Alderete that you can
use. What do you think of that game, though? Forest Sunderland, like, I've just gone, all right, I'll have Makiele. But as Chatterbox is saying in the chat, right, you know, what about Morgan Gibbs-White, Nico Williams as well, potentially? I mean, Sunderland are looking sort of okay, but the season's kind of petering out a little bit. Yeah. So, you know, Forest still with all to play for, aren't they?
Absolutely. And Forest will need to win the game. I do wonder if they might be one eye on European slots. I think Murillo went off injured again today.
Yeah.
We have to remember that it was Burnley as well, and they are truly terrible.
True.
So yes, Morgan Gibbs-White, I think, is looking fantastic. But the Hattie today, and I don't want this to detract from the fact that he's got a hat-trick, and I don't mean it in a negative way. I'm just saying it's Burnley, and they are crap. So he gets a hat-trick, yes, and the form has been there over the previous weeks as well, so there's nothing to stop you doing it. In fact, I have him in my draft. Sunderland's defence, and not, despite the fact that they conceded a lot today as well, normally they are not as bad as Burnley's defence.
Yeah. All right, well, that's the crap slide. That's my sort of thoughts in terms of a foundation for game week 34. Let's go to our teams then in terms of what that looks like in reality. What is that actually draft-wise? What does that look like? Well, for the sake of the podcast, I will read it out. So I've gone double Arsenal defence with Raya and Gabriel. There's Virgil. There's Alderete, who would be Mukiele, but in this draft, I need that money. I can't afford the point extra 0.345, whatever it is. So I've gone for Alderete.
What have you spent the money on then?
Well, we'll come to my midfield in just a second. And then Pedro Porro to complete the back four.
Which is the most expensive route to Spurs as well.
Yeah, he's not cheap, is he?
No.
Then my midfield. So Salah, right? And then Bruno, and then Cunha and Gibbs-White. And then
expensive
midfield. Bowen and Watkins up front. With
expensive front line as well.
Yep. Kinski, Wilson, Diouf and Mane on the bench. So as you can see, right, I've got to have an Alderete at the back. I've got to go for Diouf and Mane and have a bit of bench fodder there because Watkins is expensive. Bruno and Salah are expensive. Porro's and Virgil are expensive at the back, as is Gabriel. I've got the most expensive keeper in the game. So that is a little bit, it feels a little bit lopsided, but that's currently where I'm at.
I'm also not sure that I would bench Harry Wilson for Aldarate.
Sure. Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So Wilson could come in for this game. Yeah, absolutely. So what are you making at? Not bad?
Yeah, it's not bad.
Getting there?
It's not bad for a first start. I don't... Yeah. I don't... Bowen definitely is on radar for me to watch tomorrow night, for sure, watching him.
Danny saying Mavrapanos over Juve. Like it, mate. Yep, absolutely could be.
Yeah.
Could be.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because no Arsenal attacker. Because I just don't know who you'd have.
Mm.
Just don't know who you'd have.
Yeah. And even if you picked one, it feels a bit of a lottery, doesn't it? Like,
yeah.
If West Ham score, you know it's Bowen. At the minute, if Villa score, pretty good chance it's Ollie because he's on form, right? And if Forrest gets something, Gibbs White's usually involved. Bruno and Cunha are the ones,
yeah,
aren't they?
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Like, so, but with Arsenal, it's just like, yeah, okay, well, I might go for a Jokeres, but he was benched today. I might go for a...
And Havertz
did
look great.
Do I go for a Trossard or a Havertz? No, Havertz did look great. He played great today, Havertz.
No, not from an FPL perspective, I wouldn't pick Havertz.
Maybe not. No, maybe not. He's not going to... He doesn't look as if he's going to get, you know, two or three goals or whatever.
No, and also you... I
think he played well today, though.
But you couldn't guarantee the start.
Maybe.
He'd start.
Yeah. But I think this is... I mean, this is just a start, right? This is just a start. And as you guys know, we said at the beginning of the pod, right? We've got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We've got four games to be played this week.
Yeah.
So there's lots still to go. And I appreciate that within those four games are teams that are going to blank next week. So Tuesday and Wednesday in particular are all teams that, you know, that are probably not going to be playing
week
34, right? But in the sake for the Monday night game, which is West Ham versus
Palace.
Yeah, we're going to be scouting some players, aren't we?
Yeah,
especially
for sure.
West Ham players, right? So that's my team. That's my game week 34 free hit first thoughts. As you can see, I've got the captaincy on Bruno. I'm not going to put off anybody that wants to go put it on Mo, including yourself, if that was what you wanted to do. I'll be totally, totally for it. Let's have a look at your free hit draft then for next week. Let's read it out for the podcasters. So again, the double Arsenal defence with Raya and Gabriel. There's Virgil and Pedro Porro. So the defence is looking pretty similar. In midfield, though, Salah, Fernandes and Gibbs White. So those three, again, similar. But you've gone for Xavi and you've gone for Rodgers in midfield. And then you've gone for the Villa double up. So Watkins and Thiago up front against Manchester United. So no Bowen in there, which surprises me a little bit. And then the bench is Woodman, Van de Ven, Ronaldo and Mane. So talk us through your free hit draft then and your thinking behind, double Villa attack. I mean, what's going on here?
Really fancy Villa.
Mm,
I just think they're finding form. I don't really fancy Fulham. I wasn't impressed by Fulham at all.
Yeah.
Against all right. Brentford. And I wasn't impressed by Fulham when they played against you lot either the week before. So that's a couple of weeks now that I've watched Fulham and just gone, meh.
Season's petering out a bit, maybe.
Yeah, not really a lot to play for. Not really going to... They're not challenging for anything. They're safe. Nothing's really happening there. On the flip, you've got Villa, who want to secure their position for the Champions League via the league because there is no guarantee that they would win the Europa League, although I back them. To win the Europa League.
The way they're playing, yeah.
Yeah, and they've got Forest in the next round. I would back them to beat Forest in the next round. But then in the final, it's a European final and anything can happen, right? So they have to secure Champions League football via the league.
Looks so much better since Tielemans and McGinn have come back.
Totally.
So much better.
But also, I think Ollie Watkins, this is what we talk about all the time. This is a player with high levels of motivation because it's not just about getting Champions League football for his club. It's about the flipping seat on the plane having been left out of the England squad for the last set of international fixtures.
Yeah.
This is
maybe
about...
Maybe just give him a kick up the arse, maybe. Yeah.
I think it's exactly the kick up the arse that he needed. And I like the fact that when Watkins is doing well, it generally means Rodgers is also doing well. And we got points out of Rodgers today again, which is good.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've gone for the double up with those two. I haven't got Bowen, but Thiago could easily be Bowen. I'm not against doing that swap. I want to watch what Bowen does this week and
scored
see.
Two against United in the game at the G-Tech though, Thiago.
He did. I'm also
according to George in the chat.
I'm also not against getting Solanke if I think that he's going to be the one that gets the nod for Spurs and losing Van de Ven for somebody different on the bench. I'm definitely not wed to that forward. I'm absolutely certain I'll have Ollie Watkins. The person that plays alongside him, I'm not absolutely sure who that will be.
So that's why we're watching Bowen and Mateta tomorrow,
why we're
night,
watching Bowen and Mateta, because yeah. to be honestly, if Mateta plays well, I'll be tempted to go with him up top as a bit of a differential pick this week, because yeah. you do have a habit of going to sleep.
Well, even Danny's saying in the chat, he's saying even as a free transfer, so never mind the free hit, Watkins has got three great fixtures coming up.
Yep.
Let's have a look at their fixtures then, just because we can. Villa's next three, let's see what Danny's talking about. So there's the Fulham game, Spurs at home, and then Burnley away, and then yeah, well, Liverpool at home, listen, they can get at us, no problem at all, before they finish the season with City on the final day at the Etihad. They'll be trying to spoil the party there as well. Villa might have top four signed up by then and have their eye on a European final, by the way.
Yeah, the Spurs game is the one that sits in the middle of the European games for Villa with Forest, in the same way that we were just talking about Forest having, is it Chelsea, I think, isn't it, in the middle of their, like those are the games that are in the middle of the difficulties. Now, do we see rotation? Maybe, possibly. But look, Ollie Watkins is in fantastic form, and I think on free hit, he feels, I mean, he was after Salah, he was the first name I put there.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I like it. It's getting a lot of love in the chat, by the way. People loving the free hit. So, yeah, I think there's lots of, obviously, like I keep saying, there's football to be played this week. Lots more thinking to be done about the free hit. But I think, as you know, these first drafts we put together more or less this afternoon, didn't we? In like an hour or so, didn't we? In terms of what we're thinking. But I think we're sort of thinking along the right lines, but still plenty of chopping and changing to be done. Have you hit the button yet? Have you actually hit the...
Yeah.
Okay, so it is properly live from your perspective. Yeah, you've got the free hit live and active. It's in play. It's in. It's on.
It's in. And at the moment, while we've been talking and I was looking at it, I've moved the captaincy on to Salah.
Have you? Yeah. I don't mind it at all.
I feel like this is the week where I can just this is the more week.
Definitely the consensus is going to be Bruno. I mean, definitely. The masses are going to go there. So I don't mind it.
Especially for those not free hitting, Bruno is the obvious captain this week.
Yeah.
I think he's the obvious captain, full stop, capital letter, move on. Mm. But, there's the Egyptian king right there in good form.
He did play today a little bit like he knew it was his last Merseyside derby, you know. And he'll know with the Palace game that that's his, second to last, I mean, in my own games we've got. But let's say it's his third to last home game. You know, he knows.
Yeah.
He's got fewer and fewer games at Anfield to go. And he'll want to make the most of it. Yeah, no, I don't mind it. I'm not going to put you off that at all. So there we go, guys. We've got a couple of green arrows in the FPL family household, which is great. We've got loads of football still to go in game week 33. And then we've got the free hit in 34 before we're back here seeing you guys again this time next week. So loads. And I mean, this is, as we've said for a few weeks here on FPL family, this is the part of the season that sorts the week from the chaff, isn't it? This is the, you know, where all the forward planning pays off. The wild cards, the bench boost, the free hit. I don't know, lots and lots of FPL action still to go over the next few weeks. So I assume that means we've got plenty of content going on this week, have we? What's going on this week?
Yeah, so it's lots of my content, though. So for those of you that like Lee Moore, sorry about that.
There's not many of them.
I've got off the bench on Tuesday this week with Praz. Nice to be off the bench and actually have a positive Spurs performance to talk about. So that'll be nice. I'm looking forward to seeing Praz. He'll obviously be happy because Manchester United won as well. So hopefully that'll be a good result for us. We're recording on Tuesday morning, so just after the original 10 fixtures. And then Jules, Kelly and I are recording very late on Wednesday night, which will be in your ears on Thursday lunchtime-ish, where we'll review the final three games of the double game week, and then we'll be previewing game week 34 and talking about free hits and what you do with how you manage your team and all that jazz. And then on Thursday night, we'll obviously be back with our regular Ohana podcast, where we will run through our... They're probably going to be fairly locked in free hit drafts.
But by Thursday night?
Because it's Friday deadline. So I think we'll probably be there or thereabouts on that Ohana podcast.
The Ohana podcast on Thursday, I think we're going to be pretty locked in. So you will want to listen to that, guys. So patreon.com/FPOfamily is where you can go find the Ohana podcast. Like we said at the beginning of the show, right? No need to send us any money. It's not behind any paywalls. Just go and get a Patreon account. Follow us on Patreon and then you can get access to the podcast on Thursday. I think we'll be quite locked in by then.
Yeah, I think we will. And I've just remembered I'm also doing the Sky Sports News Fantasy podcast on Tuesday as well. So you'll be able to catch me everywhere.
God, blimey, you're going to have a busy week, aren't you? Yeah. Lots to talk about the free hit. Lots to talk about the free hit.
Some patron calls as well, I think, going on this week.
God, blimey, busy, busy as busy usual, girl. Busy as ever. Thank you guys for joining us here on FPL Family. Good luck for the remaining four fixtures in game week 33. For those of you that have still got players in those teams, which I'm guessing is pretty much everybody.
Come on, Palace.
Let's hope we get anything from João Pedro. Anything. Just turn
up,
João.
Just turn up, João.
Just turn up, João, would be good. Just a one-pointer. We'll take it. We'll take it. Like, subscribe, all that good stuff. And we'll see you this time next week, when we'll be discussing how the free hit in game week 34 has gone so far. Cheers, guys. See you soon.
Bye, guys.